This morning, we're going to have a little bit of a different message. The scripture that we read this morning is not really one that kind of gives you, you know, big direction for your life. It's really one of those scriptures that you kind of sit with. You kind of take a moment just to kind of soak in what is shared. And within this particular psalm that Emily read for us a few moments ago, we hear words that remind us of what it means to truly be fulfilled. I don't know if you have places in your life, experiences that you've had, where you just felt completely content, felt like everything was lined up exactly the way that it ought to be. Maybe there's a place that you go, maybe there's an experience that you have, a tradition that's near and dear to you, where you just feel as though everything is complete, everything is fulfilled. I know for me that one of my places that I like to go where I feel the experience of being fulfilled is the Georgia coast. I know some people are Fernandina people in our church. I know some of you are Gulf folks. Give me a smelly Georgia marsh. That's my place. That's where I love to be. And my family has a property that we go to, and it's positioned really well where we can go to a few different islands and experience different places to enjoy the coastal life. And we have a little bit of a pattern that we engage in, and it goes like this. If we want to go out to eat, we go to St. Simon's Island. If we want to go to the beach, we go to Jekyll Island. There are less people. I do not like people on my beach. And so that's the way we kind of divide it up. It's like, you know, if you're going to eat, you're going to go to St. Simon's. If you're going to enjoy the beach, you're going to go to Jekyll. It's a little more wide open, a little less people. That's the place I want to be. But there is one place that we will go and eat on Jekyll Island. Now, I apologize if any of you are co-owners of Tortuga Jack's. I'm not going to convince you that it's the best Mexican food I've ever had. But here's the scene. Let me set the scene for you. It is a Mexican restaurant with an open-air tiki hut patio where you can see the Atlantic Ocean. Is there anything you desire more in life than to smell ocean air and eat cheese dip? I mean, we're talking, this is the spot to be. And so over the summer, me and my son Asher were looking to spend a little bit of daddy-son one-on-one time, and we decided we were going to go spend the afternoon at Jekyll and begin with lunch at Tortuga Jack's. Now, it was a Sunday afternoon. It was a Sunday I was off from church, and so we were able to go there, and a lot of times at night or on the weekend afternoons, they will have live music on the patio. And as the band played, they began to play the answer to a trivia question that I have never heard anyone ask. And that trivia question is this: what is Anthony MacPhail's favorite Tom Petty song? Nobody's ever wondered that, but I'll give you the answer anyways. Learning to Fly. Love that song. We got two measures into the song, and my son, my precious 7-year-old son, looks up at me and says, I don't even know this song, but I like it already. It's like, yeah, yeah. And the song continued to play, and the band began to sing, and it got to the chorus, I'm learning to fly, and I'm singing right along, and my son is sitting there with a chip in his hand with queso all over it and his face, and he looks at me and he says, Daddy, we're having the time of our lives. Oh my, be still my heart. Chips, queso, learning to fly, ocean air, time with my son. Does it get any better than this? I'm sitting there soaking it all in, and it's one of those moments you look back on life where everything seems perfectly content and you feel completely fulfilled. Question for us is, what does it look like to be completely fulfilled? What does complete fulfillment look like in our lives? What are those moments, what are those experiences that you look at and you go, we are having the time of our lives. We are exactly where we need to be. We are experiencing exactly what we need to in this moment. The passage that we read this morning describes that kind of experience. Did you hear these words at the end of that passage, verses 8 through 10 of Psalm 34? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Those who are in the presence of God have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. It says that they will lack nothing, and that if they are seeking the Lord, they will lack no good thing. David, the psalmist here, is writing, and he's describing that beautiful picture of what complete fulfillment looks like. And he's talking about where we find it. Now, as we look at this psalm, there's a little bit of a pattern that we see within it. And so I've got kind of a breakdown up on the screen so you can kind of see the movement of what happens within this psalm. The first three verses are really a call to worship. They go like this: I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When we think about worship, we think about when the choir sometimes will call us to worship, or we might have a prayer that leads us and guides us in. But what we're doing when we have that call to worship, what we're experiencing is this kind of that moment of, okay, it's time. It's time to come in and experience the joy of worshiping together. And so David is calling people together. He wants them to hear that there is an excitement, that there is the presence of God that we are being invited into. And he's trying to draw people into that moment, into that experience, so that they can truly fulfill that fulfillment that you find and you experience within that. And then we kind of get into an interesting section. And one of the things, if you've been here a lot, you probably have heard me talk about this before, but in Scripture, the way that it was written, it wasn't written with punctuation marks. There weren't boldface headings or anything like that. The chapter breaks came later. And so what the writers would have to do is they were writing this on parchment and scrolls is they would have to give little hints within the scripture of what was supposed to be understood together. They didn't have paragraph breaks to indicate this section goes together. And so what you end up having is you might have a phrase and then a repeat of that phrase or a similar phrase that shows, okay, everything within these two points goes together. So at the beginning of verse 4, we hear, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And then at the end of verse 10, it says, those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. In other words, this is the seek the Lord section. This is a section about seeking the Lord. Now, when you read this, what you'll notice as we go back through this is what is known as a song of thanksgiving. Different psalms had different meanings and different purposes within the life of the family of God. There are psalms that are known as hymns. So we sang a hymn this morning about all the saints, and we sing hymns a lot. You think of a song we sang in our early service this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy. It is just declaring our orientation to God. Those hymns, they are there to lift up praise to God, and they are to orient us to the way of God. And so we have hymns that are just kind of basic guidance for life's orientation type psalms. Then you have what ends up making up a little over half of the psalms, and they are the psalms of disorientation or lament psalms. The lament psalms are fascinating. They are some of the raciest language you will find in the Bible. It is filled with people who are walking through difficult, dark times. It is written by people who know the depths of despair, who know what it's like to be deep in the dark pit and in the miry clay, people who know what it's like to sit on the ash heap and to cry out and to mourn before God. It gives us language for expressing those dark seasons that we walk through that are going to be true for each and every one of us. But then there's a third type that emerges, and it's where we get these songs of thanksgiving. They are what we would call kind of reorientation psalms. And what we mean by that is these are written by people who have experienced that depth of despair, but they have seen God lead them out on the other side. They have lived to have a testimony. They have lived to see the goodness of God and the deliverance of God guide them and bring them out on the other side. And so here we have David describing an experience he had in that moment of despair. Within the first few verses of this bracketed section about seeking the Lord, he talks about his experience with deliverance. He says, I sought the Lord in verse 4, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And then he describes his condition in verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Giving another little bracket within the bracket, it begins by talking about seeking the Lord and being delivered from all fears. And then at the end, it says, he has been delivered as one that the angel of the Lord encamps around for those who fear him. David is describing what it was like to be that poor man that cried out before God. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those situations. In fact, you probably have. Those moments of despair, those moments of disorientation. Some of you might be sitting there this morning and you might have thought, yeah, orientation psalms, you know, hymns, orienting our lives towards God. That doesn't sound like what I need right now. Or reorientation, songs of thanksgiving. Well, it sure would be nice to be on the other side of this, but I'm not there quite yet. Some of you know all too well what it's like to have those songs of lament, to be disoriented, to be in despair, to walk through the valley, and to not know when or if you will ever make it out. But David is describing that, and he's describing the experience of getting to the other side. He's describing his testimony. He's declaring, I have walked through that valley, but the Lord delivered me and guided me out from it. Have you ever had an experience like that? Walking through that valley and then looking back and seeing how God was at work? I tend to think about this in terms of something I walked through just a few years ago in my own journey. It was a season filled with darkness and doubt and questions and uncertainty. And as I walked through that season, I couldn't ever seem to feel as though there was going to be a way out. It just seemed like this endless valley that I was walking through. But I remember one night, I was out walking in my neighborhood over on Mill Pond Road, and as I was walking along, I had turned on some worship music. And there's a song that we sing from time to time in our church, and it's called The Goodness of God. And it has this line in the chorus, it says, all my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been good to me. As I was walking along the road, listening to those words, all my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been good to me. It was almost like I was listening to a musical version of the poem, Footprints in the Sand. If you've ever heard that poem before, it's a beautiful illustration of how God leads us through difficult times. A man has a dream one night, and across the sky over a beach, he sees scenes of his life flashing before him. And as he sees these scenes, he notices there are two sets of footprints walking along in the sand, and he's watching these footprints walk along, and he gets to the end of it, and he realizes that one set of footprints is his, and one set of footprints is God's, but he had noticed that during the darkest times, there was only one set of footprints. And so he has that moment of despair, that moment of lament before God, and he's accusatory before God, and he says, where were you in the moments I needed you the most? Why was there only one set of footprints? And the beautiful poem says, it was in those moments that I carried you. I was the one set of footprints. When you were at your darkest moment, that was when I carried you. And I looked back on my life, and it was as though across the sky over Mill Pond, there I was seeing scenes flash before me and reminders of where I thought there wasn't a way out, and God led me out. I looked and saw that there were moments where I experienced despair and felt like there was never going to be an end to suffering, but God led me out. I sought the Lord, and he delivered me. Deliverance is a beautiful thing. But David doesn't just stop there. He describes the experience of the Lord answering him, but he also recognizes that there is a payoff. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. He's describing the experience he has of seeking the Lord in his darkest moments and finding the deliverance he so desperately needs, and the payoff of experiencing that goodness of God in his life is an experience of being in a place in the presence of God where he can just reach out and taste and see that the Lord is good. He can reach out and experience the blessedness that comes from being in his refuge. And he looks around and he says, I lack no good thing. What's beautiful about this is within those verses, in verse 9, we get the verse that tells us why we would look at this on a day like All Saints. He says, fear the Lord, you his holy people. Holy people is an English way of saying the word saints. Saints literally means holy people. It doesn't refer just to those who have gone before us. We tend to think of saints somewhat in the Catholic sense as those who have been venerated, those who have been honored, those who have gone before us that are living everlasting lives. But saints is actually used within Scripture to describe all those who are the holy people of God, all that are a part of the family of God. And so David is talking to the saints when he says this, fear the Lord, you saints. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. He is describing that when we find ourselves in moments of despair, when we find ourselves in need of desperation, when we find ourselves in those darkest moments in the pit, and we find ourselves never knowing if we're ever going to make it out, he's saying, come experience the presence of God. Taste and see that he is good. Find your refuge in him. And when you are there, you will lack no good thing. Now, the reality is you may not be in that moment of despair right now. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news because I'm usually supposed to be a proclaimer of good news, but the reality is you will probably experience a valley again in your life. You will probably walk through a dark moment, and you're going to need to find your way out. The psalm invites us to realize that in those moments, if we seek the Lord, if we seek his presence, that is when we can come and see that the Lord is good, experience the refuge, and find that we lack no good thing. This is the beautiful invitation of it. Now, when we preach and when we experience the sermon moment in our worship services, a lot of times we like to have this nice little takeaway, okay? So here's what I'm going to take with me that I can apply when I get to work tomorrow. You might think to yourself, okay, this is something that I can apply in my family. But when we talk about the presence of God, that's kind of hard to put into words. It's hard to describe. It's hard for me to get up here and say, this is what it is like to experience the presence of God. This is what it is like to seek the Lord and to find him and to taste and see that he is good. It's really not something that we describe or talk about. It's something that we are called to experience. And it's not something that I can make the experience for you. All I can do as David has done, invite you in to experience it. That's why when our choir gets up and they sing a song that prepares our heart to receive the moment of hearing God's word, when Michael led us this morning in a special music, that is an invitation into the presence of God. When we pray, we are inviting ourselves to experience the presence of God. In a few moments, we will come to the table and there will be an invitation, a beautiful invitation we hear each and every time. It's an invitation that comes from Christ. It's an invitation that has been extended to all of us. It's not my invitation. It's just simply the invitation to come and to receive. Christ our Lord invites to the table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in fellowship with God and one another. It is an invitation to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Now the reality is, and this is something that we think about on days like All Saints, is that we experience in part, we taste in part here, but one day we will know in full. When we think about experiencing complete fulfillment and complete satisfaction and lacking no good thing, Scripture is clear we find that in the presence of God. As we seek the Lord. But we also know that there are going to be more moments of despair. We know that as Jesus told us, in this world you will have great trouble. But then he said, hey, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We know that there are going to be dark moments. We know that there are going to be struggles. We know that there is going to be sickness. We know that there is going to be pain. But we also have the promise and the belief and the trust and the hope that comes from knowing that God has promised us a day when there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain, there will be no more suffering. There will just be being in the presence of God and tasting over and over and over again that He is good, that He is our refuge, and that we in His presence will lack no good thing. And I have to imagine we'll just sit around for all of eternity looking at each other, smiling at one another, and just saying, man, we're having the time of our lives. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Seek the Lord and find that you will lack no good thing. This psalm is an invitation to experience more, than this world has to offer, and to realize that those true places of fulfillment are not beside a beach, they're not over chips and cheese dip, as wonderful and as glorious as it happens to be. It is in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And the invitation to that presence is available to us now. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with God and one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.